as we traveled through 1 Thessalonians, remember, there was this, Paul didn't have too much time to spend with this church when he founded this church. And because of that, remember, he was concerned about them. He was worried about them. He was only there 3 Sabbaths for the actual founding of the church. He was in the area for a couple years before that, but when he founded the church, he only had 3 weeks with them. And while he was there, he did his best to teach them about the end times and the second coming and things to watch out for and things to look out for. And we talked about last time one of the struggles in the church at Thessalonica was just this, that their loved ones were passing off the scene. They were passing away. And they had, remember, Paul had taught them about the Lord's coming and the second coming and what's going to happen when that happens. And they were concerned about their loved ones. Well, where are they? Are they going to miss Jesus? Are they going to miss the second coming? And where are they? And all of these things. And Paul has to write to them to reiterate for them, remind them, and encourage them as to the whereabouts of their loved ones and as to what they need to be looking forward to, seeing Jesus and seeing them again in heaven one day. And that's what we've come to in 1 Thessalonians. If you remember chapter 4, we talked about the rapture of the church last week. This week, we kind of move into the day of the Lord. It's really chronological, the way Paul writes about the end times and what he tells us to watch out for and what he tells us to look out for. Now, I know these things are debatable in different churches, but I do know this. It's crystal clear in the scriptures that God wants us to know some things. God wants us to be aware of some things. He wants us to be on guard. He wants us to look out. He wants us to see what's going on in the world. And he wants his people that are around in these last days to understand the signs of the times and what is happening in the world. It's clear. The most prominent doctrine in the New Testament is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? And the reason for that is just this. He's warning them. Things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse. But don't worry. I'm coming. Don't worry. Hold on. Don't go apostate. Because I'm coming. Hold on. Jesus wants his people to know. He wants his church to know that he's coming again. And everything's going to be all right in the end. Now listen, we live in a time, we live in a day and an age where I think we are really close. We are right there. If there's anything the New Testament church believed, the early church believed, they believed in imminency. That means this, that Jesus could come at any time for his church. They would constantly write, the time is at hand, the time is near, the time is near. They wrote as if they were going to see Jesus face to face. The early church believed that. The church fathers believed that. Even the reformers, even though they had a different theology of the millennium, they even believed that Jesus could come for his church at any time. We believe that Jesus could come for his church at any time. And that's why I don't think things about the last days should be glossed over in the scriptures. We need to teach these things. We need to talk about these things. We need to remind one another of these things. Because the scriptures are clear that Jesus doesn't want us to be caught unaware. He doesn't want us to be caught not warned. He wants us to know what's going on. He wants us to be aware so these things don't overtake us and we're confused and we're dumbfounded. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared. Now listen, that doesn't mean, I believe there's a balance. I believe we need to pray and plan as if we're going to live, you know, for a long time and take care of our kids. But we need to be watchful and ready for the fact that Jesus could come at any time and that things are going to get worse and worse and worse. The Bible says evil men will wax worse and worse. And it's happening before our eyes. Now, we left off last time, Paul comforting the church, telling his people about the rapture of the church, explaining to them that Jesus is coming for them and the loved ones that passed away, they're with him in spirit, but they'll be raised at this first resurrection experience also to meet the Lord in the air. Let's pick it up there and then we'll get a running start going into chapter 5. Because remember, there's no chapter breaks in the original text. But I, brethren, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He says, I don't want you to sorrow like those who are hopeless concerning those loved ones who died. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He goes, I want to tell you something, church. I want to explain something to you. Yes, your loved ones, they died physically. Their bodies are in the ground. But when Jesus comes again, their bodies will be resurrected. Those people who are alive in physical form on the earth at that time, we're going to go up also, the rapture of the church, the catching away of the church unto Jesus. We're going to meet the Lord in the air in resurrected, glorified bodies, and we're forever going to be with the Lord. He goes, I want you to comfort one another with these words. He goes, this is going to happen. Now listen, I'm a realist and I'm practical. When I read my Bible, I try to put things together. I try to think a little bit. I hope you do that. I hope you think. I hope you take what I'm telling you and you go home and study it for yourself. You do your own study. Be a Berean. The Bible says they were more noble because they searched the scriptures to see if the things that Paul was saying was true. I read this and I'm like, how is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? There's, 2.9 billion Christians in the world. If you encompass all the Catholics and all the Christians and all the different sects, 38,000 denominations, by the way. That's a lot. All right? How is this going to happen? 3 billion people are just going to vanish off the earth, and no one's going to say, maybe those Bible thumpers were right. I need to get saved, man. Seriously. Now, I think about that, but I don't think it's going to be like that. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? You know what I think is going to happen? I think there's a remnant. There are only few that are within Christendom, that's Christianity as a whole, that really know the Lord, that really know Jesus, that really have a relationship with Jesus in these last days. So billions of people aren't vanishing off the earth. I don't know how many, but not billions. Okay? So first of all, I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think there are a few in the church, in Christendom, in different denominations that really know God, that really know the Lord, that are going out in the rapture to meet the Lord in the air. So it's not going to be this big, where did 3 billion people go? There's going to be few. Few. The Bible says that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know what that means? That means there's one way. It's narrow. It's through Jesus. And even if you name the name of Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, the Bible says only God knows and understands the human heart who really, really know God. People who really know God. So first of all, I don't think it's 3 billion people going out. Okay? And this is written to a church to comfort the church. To tell the church that your loved ones are okay, they're with the Lord, and their bodies are going to be resurrected at this time of the rapture, and if we're still here, those of us who know Jesus, we're going to see them, we're going to meet them, and we're going to be with Jesus also. He goes, comfort one another with these words. Now listen, then he's going to transition here a little bit. He's going to transition here a little bit in chapter 5. Again, there's no chapter breaks, but it's very chronological. He's going to teach them also not only about the rapture of the church, but about the day of the Lord. Now, to the Jewish mind, to the Jewish audience, this would click. It's mentioned in the Old Testament over 19 times. A dark day, a gloomy day, a day of judgment. To remind the church of what's going to happen, not only with the rapture of the church, but what's going to happen on the earth also in the last days. And what things you need to watch out for. as you see those things coming to pass. But of the times, chapter 5, verse 1, and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He goes, you have no need. He goes, I'm going to tell you because I only want to remind you. Because I don't want you to forget. He goes, I taught you these things. Remember, he was only there for 3 Sabbaths, 3 weeks. And during those 3 weeks, he taught them in detail about the last days. He goes, but brothers, you know what? Some people are worrying. They're concerned in the church about their loved ones. Let me teach them about the rapture. And they're going to see the Lord. And they're going to be with Jesus. Now let me teach you about the last days. And let me teach you about the day of the Lord. That's why some translations will say, now concerning the times. Now I'm moving on to this subject. Now let me explain to you, I taught you about the rapture, and that's going to spark the day of the Lord. Now again, I know there's different, there's churches that they kind of hodgepodge some things. They kind of put the rapture at the end of the tribulation, they put it before. Some churches say, well, there really is no rapture. I don't know how you can read the Bible just clearly and get that. Paul's just talking about a resurrection. In the last day, one day, way out there somewhere. I don't, let the Bible just say what it says. It's very simple. And he's going to tell us about times and seasons. And the times and seasons of the last days. What the earth is going to look like. So listen, how do you know the rapture's drawing near? Because you can see the times and the seasons of the last days in the day of the Lord. Kind of like this. This is how Chuck Smith used to put it. How do you know that Thanksgiving's getting close? We just passed Thanksgiving. How do you know? Because you start to see the Christmas decorations go up. Right? Does that make sense? I was like, wow, that's a good way to put it. You know that Thanksgiving's near because the Christmas decorations are up. You know the rapture's close because you can see what's going on. The last days, that we're close. We're in these times and seasons. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He goes, I've told you about these things before. I've taught you about these things before. And you know what? I'm going to write to you again about them, but you have no need because I already taught you. And then he told us before that in verse 13 of chapter 4, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. He goes, I want everybody to know. I don't want anybody to say, I don't know what's going to happen to my loved ones. And when Jesus comes, where are they? I don't want anybody to say that they don't know what the last days are going to look like. He goes, brothers, you know that I taught you this. You have no need that I write to you again. But I'll remind you again. I'll tell you again. But so many churches, so many people, so many Christians don't want to think about these things. They want to push it out of their minds. I got a life to live now. I got stuff going on now. Oh, Jesus is coming and this and that. You know, just please, tell me something that's going to get me through today. Tell me something that, you know, is going to get me through the next week. Well, I will. If you live as if you're going to see Jesus face to face every day, that'll get you through a lot of days. Now listen, when he says times and seasons, they're two different words. They're two different Greek words, okay? Times is chronos, seasons is kairos. So what does that mean? Times are long periods of time. Those times, right, they're marked and they're changed by seasons, kairos. Events happen to change the seasons, do they not? Times are long periods, seasons change. Okay? Different things happen in spring, then different things happen in summer, different things happen in fall, different things happen in winter. The seasons change. He goes, the times are long periods, but there's seasons that mark the change in those times. And he goes, brothers, you have no need that I write to you. Now listen, what is he talking about? What is he going to get into? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So listen, he talked to them about the rapture. He taught them about Christ coming for his church. Now he's going to talk to them about the day of the Lord and what the times and the seasons are going to look like. How do we know we're in the last days? How do we know? What can we see? What's going on in the world? Well, listen. There were long periods of time, but listen. How do we know if there's a season upon us? How do we know there's a change? How do we know things are budding, things are different? How do we know? Again, we know that the season of the last days are upon us because of this. In 1948, Israel became a nation again. Now that is the springboard. That's how we know that we are in a last season, that we're right there, that we're on the cusp of Jesus coming for his church, and then the last days that are talked about in the book of Revelation, the day of the Lord. That's how you know. Before that, yes, it was a little different. Yes, it was hard to discern. Yes, but the church still believed as a whole that Jesus could come for them at any time. But listen, the signs are right upon us. The signs are right there because we can see the season among us of the last days since Israel became a nation in 1948. We can't be ignorant of that. We need to look and see what's going on in the world. We need to look and see what's going on in the world. When the book of Revelation talks about, listen, that half of the world's population can be gone, is going to be gone by the time you get to Revelation chapter 9, those things can happen right now. Before the turn of the last century, that could not have happened. That could not have happened. Nuclear bombs, the technology we have, that can happen right now. Pastor Matt, don't talk to me about this doomsday stuff, please. Well, listen, you don't have to be afraid of it if you're a Christian. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to even, sweat it. But you have to be aware of it. You need to be watching. You need to be looking out. You need to see what's going on in the world. And he says, listen, the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. He goes, you know perfectly. He goes, you understand that, listen, the word for perfectly is acrobos, where we get our word acrobat. Okay? What does an acrobat do? You ever see those acrobats? They're walking on wires and they're doing these things. They're very balanced. They have to have balance. Paul says, you have good balanced teaching on the last days. I taught you this myself. You know perfectly. You understand it. You get it. Now, what about us? What about what we believe? What about what we think? Do we have a balanced perspective of the last days? Are we going to be like the psycho Christians that they hear a message and they run up on a mountain and they sell everything? That's not a balanced perspective. You're out of balance. Or the other Christians who say, you know what, don't talk to me about last day stuff. Just talk to me about a message of comfort, a message of love, a message of whatever. You know what? They're out of balance also. A good balanced perspective, acrobos, knowing perfectly, is, listen, living as if Jesus could come for his people, for his church, every day, having your mind and heart set in heaven, fixed on seeing Jesus, but your feet firmly planted on this earth to do his work and his will to the day you die if he doesn't come for you. That's a balanced perspective. That's what the Thessalonian church had, and they need to be reminded of. Now listen. You say, Pastor Matt, well, how's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? The times and the seasons and all these things, and we're in the last days. How do we know? What can we see? Now listen. There's a couple schools of thought on this. You know me. You know I believe in the Islamic Antichrist theory. I'm sold on it. I'm sold. I believe that Islam is the beast of Revelation. I believe that. You can debate me, you can argue with me. Because if you don't believe, and listen, one of my pastors don't believe this. A lot of them don't. Some of them do, some of them don't. And this is the debate. To have a revised Roman Empire, which the church taught for a long period of time, that there was going to be a revised Roman Empire and the Antichrist was going to rise up out of Rome. To have that happen, okay, Islam has to be fully destroyed. Listen, And some of them still think that there's going to be a war, and Ezekiel 38 is the war of Russia and Turkey, and they come down, and they're going to break the back when they converge. They're going to break the back of Islam also. I don't think that. I think Islam is here to stay. Okay? And I think, listen, Revelation talks about a worldwide kingdom of Antichrist. And I think it's a worldwide kingdom of Antichrist that, listen, is a global spiritual entity, which is Islam, that's growing. Listen to me. By the year 2050, you say, Pastor Matt, that's 35 more years. I can worry about that a little bit, but I'm up there in age. I don't have to worry too much. Well, your kids do. By the year 2050, with the current population rates, right, each Islamic family averages 8.5 children in their home. You know what the Christian nations, like America, like we're more Christianized, average 1.7. Now listen, by the time 2050 hits, the world could be 85% just by birth rates Islamic. Oh, that's what you're talking about. Listen, I'm just giving you, don't take what I'm saying. Go look it up. And I think there's hints about what's going to happen in the last days. I think there's hints and things that we can see that are going on in Israel right now. You can't see. What sparks the tribulation period? What's going to spark that seven-year period? Well, there's going to be a peace treaty signed with Israel that's going to be a seven-year peace treaty. You can't see that. That could happen anytime. What's going on in Israel, in the Middle East, that someone could rise up and say, listen, we figured out the whole Muslim-Israel-Christian thing. We got it all figured out. We're going to have a peace treaty. There's going to be peace. We're going to let the Jews rebuild their temple over here next to the Dome of the Rock. We're going to let it happen. We're all going to have peace together. You can't see that it can be right before us, upon us. People turn the news on and they say, these people in the Middle East, can't we just get rid of them all? They cause all the problems in the whole world. Can't someone just figure it out over there, all these religious fanatical nuts? No, you know why? Because you can't argue, you can't politic, you can't debate religion. Just like no one's going to come tell me, take my head off. No one's going to come tell me that Jesus isn't the Son of God, that he didn't die for my sins, and he's not my Savior. No one's going to tell me to disbelieve that. No one's going to tell them that there's only one God, Allah, and Muhammad's his prophet. The only ones that are supposed to do that and tell them are Christians, so they can get converted and believe in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why all these fights are going to happen. That's why all this stuff that goes on in the political realm to bring peace to the Middle East and all, it's a bunch of garbage. It's not going to happen. There's only one that can bring peace, and it's Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That's it. Now listen. It says right here, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. Sudden destruction comes upon them. Say, Pastor Matt, what is this Islamic Antichrist here? You really believe that? Isn't it? I do. I think it's in front of us. Listen, if you believe the other side, the whole revised Roman Empire, I think you'd be in good company still. And I don't think we should divide over these things. I think we should debate them vigorously so we can keep our eyes open to see what's going on in the last days. Now listen, what is Islam purported as? It's a religion of peace. 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 No, it's not. Now, I get nervous that people run out of church and say, oh, I can't go back to that church. He's like starting holy wars over there. Seriously, man. I don't believe in jihad or holy war. I don't believe that. I believe we convert the word through love and grace and preaching the gospel and living for Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to start any holy war. But I need to keep you aware. I need to warn you of what's going on in the world so we can look out and we can see what's going on around us, so we can be prepared, so we can train our children, so we can preach the gospel for Jesus Christ, so we can live the gospel. And they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I think this is given reference to this 7-year peace treaty that's coming. It's soon. There's going to be peace. We're going to make peace in the Middle East. And then destruction's going to happen. It says a woman with travail. You know what that means? Labor pains. Labor pains. How do you know you're in the last season? Well, how do you know the baby's coming? I don't know. I never had one. At least I don't think I have. I have enough of them, but they really didn't come from my body. All right? Thank God. I say if men had to have babies, there'd be no one left on the planet. All right? But how do you know the baby's coming? How do you know the season's about to turn, about to end? Because the labor pains intensify and intensify and intensify until a baby comes. Jesus talked about this. I'm going to read you from Matthew 24. You can turn there if you want. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Jesus is coming out of Jerusalem. He gets his disciples to a vantage point so they can look back and see the temple. And they ask Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And when's all this going to happen? When are you going to, all this? And Jesus starts to answer their question. And Jesus takes them from their time all the way to the last time, all the way to the last days. Look in verse 4. And Jesus answered, Matthew 24, 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. Now listen. These are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of labor pains. Listen, nation rising against nation couldn't happen until the last days. Nation over here, 1,000 miles away, can rise up against another nation 1,000 miles away. That's happening right now. Earthquakes, look what he says. Pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of labor pains, the beginnings of sorrows. They're right upon us. They're right in front of us. We see nation rise against nation, earthquakes in diverse places, crazy things happening on the news every day. This is how we know that the season's changing, that we're close, that it's right there. I say this all the time. It's only God's grace that somebody hasn't pushed the button for a nuclear bomb yet. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, unless those days be shortened, no flesh will be saved. You know what? Because once they hit one, someone's hitting another one. And someone's hitting another one. 85 million people died in World War II. With the push of one button, one bomb could kill that many people and more in today's day and age. Only 70 years later. Think about that. And we're naive to sit here and think, that's never going to happen. Our politicians are smart enough to keep that stuff suppressed. We got enough intelligent people in the world to keep that stuff in check. Really? No, we have a God that's a gracious God. We still have a Christian influence. We still have a Christian influence on the world, somewhat, that we preserve, we restrain what's going to happen in the future, in the near future. I just hope if that happens and I'm still here, I hope that bomb just hits my house quick so I'm out. Right where I am, seriously. Jesus said these are the beginnings of labor pains. They're right there. They're right in front of us. Looking. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, Pastor Matt, isn't Jesus talking to the disciples? No. He's speaking as a prophet. When a prophet speaks, he would address the people that were in front of him, but it has a near and a far interpretation. It's addressing the people, the believers, that are going to be alive in the last days. Were the disciples hated of all nations for Jesus' sake? No. the surrounding nations, but Christians are hated all over the world. All over the world, and they're hunted down in droves. I told you, it's the Christian population a couple weeks ago in Iraq, about 20 years ago, was like 23%. Now it's less than 2%. Because they're hunted down and they're driven out. See, we need to wake up. We need to see these things. We need to get involved in the work of the ministry so we can do something for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I say this all the time. You say, well, Pastor Matt, how can I get involved? What can I do? Listen, well, you might not go out there, you might not do something, but you can sure give to that cause. You can sure do something about it. You can sure surely pray, right? Look what he says. And then shall many, verse 10, be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, they shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures till the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And you can read the rest of it. He gives in detail, I believe, chronologically, how things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. The beginning of labor pains, then they get worse, they get hotter, they get more difficult. And praise God, it finishes with the second coming of Jesus Christ. But we need to be aware. We need to be on guard. We need to watch. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. Now look what he says. For when they say, verse 3, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They will not escape. Now listen. He reminds them of what he already told them about the rapture, about the last days, about seasons and times and things to watch out for as the people of God. We need to be aware. And then he makes it personal. And then he says, But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. He goes, you've been warned, you know. You're not of the dark, you're of the light. So listen, when we turn on the news and we see things happen, terrorists, bombs going off, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, famines in diverse places, you shouldn't be like, oh man, what is going on in the world? What are we going to do? You should be like, well, you know what? The Lord told us exactly this. I'm not saying get happy about what's going on. I'm get happy that your redemption draws near. That he's close. That it's coming. That he's coming for his bride, for his church, for his people. We shouldn't be like, oh, what's going on? What are we going to do? What's going to happen to this country? What's going to happen to my 401k? What's going to happen to this? What's going to my savings account? You're like, what savings account? What 401k? I know. You're like, already, what happened to it? Now listen. But that's what people do. That's what Christians do. And they get so freaked out because they're so entrenched in what's going on in this world and hanging on to the things of this world and the here and the now. Listen, remember when the economy turned in 2006, 2007 timeframe? Like, horrendously. The housing market almost dropped in half. Like, ridiculous. People were so panicked and freaked out. I worked with a couple guys. I had $200,000 in my 401k. Now I got $50,000. And again, I was like, well, I got nothing, so good. Right? But the same thing with Christians. Oh, wait, man, what about this? What about that? You shouldn't be freaked out. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be scared. God's in control. He knows what's going on. Nothing can touch you unless it comes through his hands first. Right? You shouldn't be, oh, what am I going to do? I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm this, I'm that. That this day, the end times and the last days, should not overtake you. You should not be panicked. It's going to overtake the world because people are relying on man, man's wisdom, man's ingenuity to protect them and prosper them. And you know what? Man fails every time. But God never fails. God's going to take care of his people. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Right? But you, brethren, you're not in darkness. We're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes, those are the days of God's judgment. That's not appointed for God's people. That wrath's not going to come upon us. We're of the day. We should be day walkers, people of the day. We can see things clearly. We are the light of the world. And then he gives a contrast between people of the day and people of the night. People of the day, right, have clarity. They have light on their path. They know where they're going and they know how they're going to get there. And they know what's at the end of the path. People in the dark, listen, that's what we tell you. Ever tell your kids, those of you who have kids that have been through their teen years and a little bit older, there's nothing out there for you at 12, 1, 2 in the morning. What's going on out there in the dark that late at night? You don't need to be out there. It's evil. Well, there's some truth to that. What's going on in the dark in the night at 1, 2 in the morning? People are drunk. People are riotous. People don't know what they're doing. They have no direction. They have no path. It's a path of destruction. So get home. In my case, for my kids, it's going to be, right now it's, you know, it gets dark at 5 o'clock. So 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Right? But there's nothing there for you. That's darkness. We're people of the light. See, we have a path. We know where we're going. And God's light illumines our walks and our way. But people that are in the dark, they stumble about like drunken people. They don't know which way they're going. They can't see clearly like you and I can see. And that's why, when the judgment comes upon the world, they're going to be lost. And the Bible says none of them will escape. That's so scary. It's up to us to be people of the day and bring the light of the gospel to people that are in darkness, that don't have the light of Jesus Christ in their lives, that don't have what we have. That's why, listen, sometimes I get angry. See, up here you'd never know that, okay? But sometimes I get angry. I get angry at people that are in the dark. I get angry at the president. I get angry at the politicians. I get angry at all the people that are in my way on 114. I get angry. But then I forget that they're lost in the dark. When I should have compassion, right? When the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, we're supposed to pray for all those that are in authority over us, right? I should have compassion for them. I should be broken for them. I should look out when I see the 114s in the traffic that, you know what, 90% of these people don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know where they're going. They're living like ants for the here and the now. They have no clue that if they don't get saved and receive the love of Jesus Christ into their lives, you know what, they're only waiting for the wrath. So I shouldn't get angry because I'm a person of the day. You're a person of the day. You're a person that knows Jesus. You're a person that has the light of the world in your life. And that's what we're supposed to let shine. But when we let the darkness rub off on us and we start to think like people of the night, we can't help but act like people of the night. And that's why Paul tells them, but you are not of the night. You are of the day. And I need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of that. In these last days, yeah, they're scary times, but you know what? Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.